Most devices that connect to the internet should be able to watch it live streaming. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. You miss a show, you want to replay a show, the show is available there. Actually, there's probably 3 years of shows there. Not that anybody would ever want to go back and listen to 3 years of shows.
Well, once you're done everything you have on your DVR and all the Netflix
and
shows
you're bored and you have
Amazon.
Nothing better to do, right? Yeah, you can do that. And also, finally, last but not least, at our website, bright and early every Saturday morning, free economic report by Stephen
Friday
McCarthy.
Afternoon.
Friday afternoon, they're getting earlier and earlier.
By 4:30, yeah. It's an interesting report this week, too. They talk about the Fed raising rates, which everybody, you know, pretty sure they did. And gradual is okay. We need to get back up a little bit. But they talk about the what they call the Amazon effect in shopping. And if you look at the increase in online shopping, it's a 45-degree angle over the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I keep on hearing comments, national commentators in big cities saying, yeah, I went to the mall. You could drive a truck through there. And the last time, I'm trying to think, over the last month, I went into a mall. I can't remember when it was, but it was empty. It was, and it wasn't weather related. Mm-hmm. It was just not that many people actually go to a mall. And of course, yesterday, JCPenney announced 173 stores nationwide being closed.
Oh, did they really?
Yeah. Nothing. Dunkirk is the closest one here.
Well, that's big changes, technology, internet, so forth. You know, that's the world keeps changing.
But it's a factor in jobs.
Oh yeah,
you need less employees to. It's interesting. That's why I don't think we're seeing a big recovery in the economy.
I knew you were going to get to the bottom line there.
Thank you. Right now,
phone lines are wide open. I'll give you the two main numbers right now, 803-1520, and that's 803-1536. Right now, we're going to go first to Art. Good morning.
David and Peter.
Good morning, Art. How are you doing?
Oh, very good. First of all, I heard that the Pope had some future contracts in beef. That's why
To tell you the truth, I wouldn't doubt it. But anyway.
How did the snow come out by you guys? We were targeted to get about 18 inches. We got 7, so we didn't do too bad.
You know, we got about 15 inches.
Yeah, we got about 15 inches.
15 to 20.
But it wasn't that bad because it was over a period of time. And
3 days.
Oh, yeah. I still have some residue out there. I have to clear the car off. So.
That's always the joy of winter, right?
Right. I have a question on two stocks. First one would be Immunomedics. I know I've spoken to Willard, I guess, about this in the past. And it's on the OTC. And recently they've had some feedback from a company called VenBio. Mm-hmm. Now, originally I bought this thing at 2 1/8, and it's closed at 6.65,
nice.
6.45 on Friday. And it looked like the this other company might make some kind of a bid. I know they, when IMU just put up their new board of directors, they were just having an annual meeting. The person who was the president is no longer the CEO, is just a director now, not listed as an officer. So I'm wondering if you had any thoughts whether this thing could continue up.
Well, I hope so, because I own it in my own account, you know. So, but
IMMU is a symbol. Ida Mary Union.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Many years ago, I went to their corporate meeting out in Morris Plains or Morristown, and I had, 4,000 shares at that time. They said, oh, you have quite a bit. And I toured the plant. They had a lot of good-looking stainless steel equipment for scaling things up, but they really aren't selling too much in this country as far as cancer preventive.
Well, you know what it is with biotech stocks, and I can go on and on with that. You know, I mean, I even should know better than invest in a lot of these biotech stocks because it's very, very risky. And I've always mentioned before a famous trader who makes a lot of money. One of his number one rules is he never buys a biotech stock, ever. You know,
and he obviously had a bad experience.
Well, yeah, I mean it's risky. I mean it is, and I'm going to tell my experiences, you know, today the negative side as I try to warn people. You know, you have two risks: either the drug. And some of them only have one drug or a couple of drugs, and one of them, you know, bites the dust in trials or God forbid, you know, hurts somebody, you get killed in the stock. Or, you know, once a stock runs up like this one, you know, it's come up from 2 to 6.5 or whatever, right? They all start coming out with public offerings, okay?
Right.
And it hits the stock. So that's the risk. Right now, I'm just holding for my target, which is 740, you know.
Okay. And, and if I hear anything new about any takeover, or, you know, a formal bid, then I'd call in and let you know.
I appreciate it. Yep.
The second company was Snap. Now, that's been in the news for a long
time. Well, that was a great short sale.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, I put a limit in at 12 right now. You know, to buy 2,000.
I mean, the company's probably worth zero. You know?
Right. Maybe some people are saying 10 is the bottom, and others.
I have no idea. I mean, when you do it, when you're doing a new issue,
right?
You know, God only knows. You know, and
sure. I hope it goes more like Facebook than like some of the other ones.
Well, it's doing exactly that at this point. So
yeah. It's doing Facebook. You know, an early Twitter. You know,
right.
Whatever. And you have to wait for it to bottom. You know, I mean, if you think 10's good, fine. You know that. Yeah. You know, I prefer to see some action that says, you know, the sell-off's over, because I don't think it's going to turn around and go to the moon overnight. You know,
at least 90 days, and that's when
the lockup period, or yeah, whatever.
So you'll see some action on the downside
Then people can sell. Is that what the lockup period is? The ones that got
Right.
Incidentally, I'm a new customer, and I had the pleasure again of getting together with Willard in Florida in January.
Oh, great. Tremendous.
It's a wonderful time. Really. Yeah. Lovely man. Great guy.
Yeah, he's down there right now, too, again.
Still?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, not still. I mean, you know,
he hasn't come back?
No, he came back. And what he does is he spends 2 weeks a month down in Florida, usually.
We call him the nomad.
But he's at our office. You know, it's not like a vacation down in Florida. And,
of course. Yeah, I visited the office. It was very nice.
I think he gets the people at our office running all day while he's down in Florida, too. You know,
very good.
Yeah, so he keeps things hopping.
Great. Great talking to you, guys.
Great talking to you. Take care.
Thanks.
Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call. Phone numbers are 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll-free 800-879-7541. 803-1536 is the second main number. So if you get a busy signal on either 1520 or 1536, give us a call, 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I have a lot of people I know, some people in the business. I have one guy who's a pretty big money manager I know, locally here, and he's been waiting for a correction ever, and he's getting more and more aggravated. He says, I've been holding all this money back, you know.
Yeah, tell him to buy so it'll correct, please.
Yeah, that's it, you know. So, as I've said before, and it's kind of interesting, too, you know, there was something in Barron's today which mentioned, they're talking about this, longest bull market ever, okay? Mm-hmm. And if you measured a bull market from 2009, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost 8 years now,
March, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But there was a almost exact 20% correction in 2011. It was 19 point something, just missed 20%. So did this bull market start in 2009 or did it start in 2011? You know, even if it started in 2011, it's still going to be 6 years, you know.
Yeah.
So people miss that point. But as I've been telling people, you know, stop worrying about the market and focus on, you know, the sectors, number one. You should always look at those sectors that are moving and then look for stocks in those sectors or mutual funds in those sectors, you know, however you invest, or ETFs. And you've had corrections underneath the surface. I mean, the energy sector has been killed this year. Basic materials is pulled back. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see rotating type of corrections going on.
Industry-wide sectors.
And when people were so worried about rising interest rates, which is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in the world, right? You know, everybody was worried about this rate hike. And I told someone they should go out and buy this short to intermediate bond fund, you know, that only pays about 2%, I think, or something like that. You know, but, you know, it's relatively stable. As soon as rates hit about 2.6% in the 10-year, that's the ideal time to hit it, because I don't think it's going to go above 2.6. And we're talking, he said, what about the rate hike? I said, it's already built in. Yeah,
you know who agrees with you?
What?
Jeffrey Gundlach.
I saw that. I was going to bring that up. And I've told people it may end up being a flattening of the yield curve, where short-term rates go up. And that's what he's saying now. I said, he stole it from me. I've been telling people this.
Your nose is growing.
But I know he did. You know, I nearly fell over when I heard that. He thinks the 10-year is going to back off to 2.25 before it starts moving back up again. Mm-hmm. But I think there's going to be a lid, you know, on the 10-year
rate.
Well,
it's got to take a breather. I mean, year ago, the 10-year, and you can get this from the Stone and McCarthy, a year ago it was 188. It's 2.5 now. It did go a little over 2.6, 2.65. The 30-year mortgage was 3.73 a year ago. It's 4.3. Those are dramatic moves.
Oh, yeah, they've gone up quite a bit. But, you know, remember how the utilities and the telephones got hit? Mm-hmm. They came roaring back over the last several weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so don't go on predictions. Don't say, you know, if the dollar does this, this is going to happen. If interest, it doesn't always work that way. Or there's periods of time it will go counter to what you think.
We used to wait till Thursday afternoon until Henry Kaufman would come out and give his comment on the Federal Reserve's money supply. That was a big thing in the 80s. We'd sit there and wait at our office in Amherst and say, okay, what's the money supply? What's the money supply?
Right, exactly. Yeah,
who
exactly.
knows money supply now?
Nobody even talks. Someday it'll come back, like everything else. But at any rate, right now, give us a call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Two main numbers. If you get a busy signal, try 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. Or if you're somebody that has to use an 800 number, which I can't believe there's anybody anymore has to do that, but it's 800-879-7541. And right now we are going to, looks like Vegas.
No, it's David. Maybe he's in Vegas.
David is in Vegas? Or is there two people on the line?
I want to make sure that the...
I knew it was Bill. See, I knew it was Bill.
Right.
I'm getting killed over here. I can't figure out if it's going to be black or red.
Black or red.
He's in Vegas.
Hey, AP, listen. Remember what I told you. It's not a question of if, but when the market will crash. I heard that commercial about 8 times this week. Not a question of if the money, but when. So I'm calling you, Pete, because you tell your crystal ball, when is the money going to crash?
The market will crash when something bad matters. You know, it's like, you know, everything, it means something, but nothing means anything until it matters, you know.
So. Hey, you're the man. Pete, I got to give you a bad news.
Uh-oh.
When I first started calling the show, I was a young man. I'm eligible for Social Security now.
Well, you better get it before it's gone.
Can you believe it, Pete? I was a young kid buying all that garbage in the stock market. Now I'm buying AT&T and Verizon and Dr. Pepper, Snapple and Coke and all that stuff to get my old man dividends like my father used to get. But hey, listen, when Trump won, they told me to sell all my dividend-paying stocks, all the bond proxies, get rid of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
How would you like to get rid of Philip Morris the day Trump won the election?
That would hurt.
How about selling the banks?
How about selling AT&T down there at about 35?
Mm-hmm.
And now the challenge is the same course to 50. How come everybody's so smart? How come everybody's... You know, the red board. You know what it is to red board, Pete?
No.
Red board is a racing... 7 weeks of the Kentucky Derby from today, but that's not the point. Red boarding is after the race is over, you knew everything. You know what I mean? So I was the king of the red boards, you know, for many years. So I can tell you exactly what happened after the race, but my ticket was on the floor. But that's not the point. So, you know, now, Pete, you look at some of these, like, gaming and leisure properties. Looks like it's going to break out here, you know, with a 4% yield. You know, Pete, I'm just a little bit confused here. So, everything is still copacetic, but I don't think we're going to have any crashes when I see the AAI survey, the highest number of bears in like 2 years.
Yeah, I heard that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. 39% bears in the AAII survey. And I'll tell you, that's a good survey to watch because they're the opposite of what you do.
Oh yeah,
everybody's worried about consensus ink and this and that. Those take a long time to turn. You know, they could be down there at 10% for weeks,
mm-hmm.
or they could be really high. But the AAI survey, that's pretty good, you know, on a week-to-week basis. But
I would have to agree, and, you know, in general, that's true. I think when everybody stops worrying about a correction, then we have to start worrying, you know.
Exactly. I go on Market Watch. I love their website because it's just crash after crash. Every guy they quote, everyone, they all can't be right. I agree. You're getting up here in nosebleed territory, but geez, you know what I think is going to happen. The best thing is a time correction, which I always talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the market goes sideways for many weeks, and everybody gets crazy and they throw in the towel. Then you look at the weekly charts and the moving averages are in perfect alignment. You're going, wait a minute, this isn't going bad. But I think what you'll have here is maybe you'll have some sort of short-term top. You'll pull back 5-7%. If the next rally is bad, then you probably want to lighten up.
Mm-hmm.
But if this is 1985, you'll stop about here. You'll do nothing until about maybe September, October, and the market will take off again. That's what's going to happen.
But that's a possibility. But what it's been, though, it's been a gradually climbing market now. I mean,
right.
You know, I mean, this has not been a runaway market this
exactly.
year. You know?
And another thing is, you don't want to see the market open up huge, and then all of a sudden it gives it all back.
Mm-hmm.
It opens up on a Monday, up 400, up 350. I'd be leery of that. That would scare me. But, geez, you don't get that. This is different here. I'm telling you, this is a very – I'm an old guy who's been following the market since my father in the mid-60s. I've never seen anything quite like this. I think everybody thinks 2008 – is coming back like tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many people got burned in that market. They never would come back in a meaningful way.
No, yeah.
I don't know. Hey, listen, you guys, I'm going to keep trying to win at this roulette. I've done my last like 200. But if I need any money, Pete, I'm going to worry. Send it over here to the Wynn Casino for me, friend?
Yeah, just don't send me an email saying I'm in trouble and I need money because we don't even open those.
Listen, you guys have a nice spring.
Okay.
Check out CHDN.
CHDN, huh? Okay.
Yep. Okay, see you later.
Good
Thanks,
luck.
Bill.
Take care.
Rolling.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, 803-1536. Those are the two main numbers. If they're busy, try 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. And we're going to go next to David in Naples, Florida. Good morning.
Good morning.
Come on.
I'm wondering if you could give me some information again on Visa and Wells Fargo.
Visa, and do you own both of those?
I got a position in both. I'm wondering if I should make them long-term or
I mean, Visa's been beautiful.
Yep.
I mean, there's been, you know, no reason, you know, to sell it. It's just been climbing and climbing and climbing, okay? And right now, you know, I would probably – do you have this from much lower levels than where it is or –
Yeah, I got Visa. I've got good profit in Visa.
Okay. And, you know, right now I would only potentially reevaluate it if it dropped, you know, the first position would be 88, okay?
Okay, 80, I thought 87. That's good.
Yeah, and then after that, the real main thing that I'd be watching is probably around the 84, 85 area.
Right. Close at 90 and a quarter, 90.24.
Right, yeah. Because that back at that 84, 85 area is that gap it made in February.
Right.
And that's been holding, and that's always very bullish, you know, that they can't, they couldn't immediately close that gap at all. So that's very important, very, very important support around 84, 85, you know. And what was the other one? Wells Fargo?
Yeah. Wells Fargo, yeah.
Let me take a look at Wells Fargo. Well, I mean, it still looks good. I don't see any reason to be concerned about it at the moment. Let's put a trend line. The trend line comes in, looks like around 58 right now, and it's, you know, coming back down to test the trend line.
Yeah, close to 58.67.
Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's in an uptrend. It's been bouncing off the trend line every time it comes up. And probably under 57, you know, then your next support would be down around 54, you know.
55, yeah. That's yep. What I thought, 55.
Right.
Yeah, I was just hoping that they've got this problem behind them.
Oh, I think it is, you know, no question about that. And, you know, this was a major, major breakout. You know, it took out the 2015 high, and, you know, it rallied up from where, you know, it looks like around 43.
Yeah, 44.
Yeah, and then it went up to 57. If you do what they call a measured move, 14 points from that would give you a target of about 67, you know.
Well, okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks, Dave.
Okay. Phone numbers to call. We're wide open again, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Those are the two main lines. If they're busy, call 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. And we're going to go next to Jason in Cherry Creek. Good morning.
Hey, gentlemen, how are we doing?
Good, okay. Jason. How are you doing?
Well, I called because, David, you mentioned something, and I just read a funny article related to it. You said, who knows money supply these days? And I was actually reading an article yesterday that said that the debt ceiling had passed on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously they'll do what they always do, raise the limit or put up, you know, mm-hmm. It doesn't exist right now or whatever till we do.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because it mentioned it had like a straight down plummeting chart of the Federal Reserve's cash available. And right now Apple and Google both have more money in cash than our Federal Reserve Bank. So I wanted to bring that up because I thought it was kind of funny, you know.
Well, that is interesting to say the least. Yeah, I know.
But it's depending on what you say the Federal Reserve, the cash is. There's really I did see that also, and it's. I can't remember. I'll try and figure it out, but I can't remember what we have enough cash. But I think Apple's got $250 billion in cash and in reserves. I think, is that how much it is?
Yeah, I believe so. And it was more. I mean, the Federal Reserve. I mean, just the chart of it. I you know me being a bear. I love plummeting charts. Mm-hmm. So you know, just to see the Federal Reserve plummeting chart like that. Was, I don't know, pretty astounding, actually.
Yeah, it was
so,
one aspect. It's not like they don't have more cash on hand. I can't remember what it was, but it is astounding.
Well, we've had the debate of how much, you know, of our money is actually in paper form compared to digital form.
Right.
You know, I read 7 to 8%. You said 12 to 15%.
Right.
But either way, I mean, in consideration, it's really relatively small. And you see, you know, countries around the world right now trying to do... you know, basically cashless societies. India is pushing towards that. You have a lot of them. And I also was reading that Anonymous was stepping into the hacking game of central banks. If you guys remember, like a year or two ago, I think it was like the Bank of Bangladesh, the central bank of them, they got heisted for $81 million,
mm-hmm.
you know, putting into offshore accounts. So it's kind of funny, you know, you think of how much we evolved from the 1800s bank robbers to nowadays just some people on computer screens far, far away. You know what I mean? Lifting a lot more money than them old wagons could ever carry.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, if you keep going heavily to digital cash, cyber warfare will eventually take the whole economic system down. So.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And that's why, like you had mentioned, too, about you remember how you said recessions and dips and whatnot
mm-hmm.
aren't severe as they used to be?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is because of the quick, you know, digital influx you can do to things. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? to stabilize and whatnot. But yeah, we're definitely leaning more towards things like that. And I always, you know, I always feel uncomfortable at market levels with PE ratios like this. I can't get past fundamentals, so I look at little negative things. Which with an interest rate, did Annaly already drop in price? Is it too late to buy a put on that one, or is that still got a little more room? Because that's always a great interest sensitive.
No, that actually it's doing pretty well.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Really? Because aren't they adversely affected with the rate hike?
Not necessarily, okay? You know, there's so many factors about the way they structure their business that they can compensate for that, and it depends.
If it's a slow sort of
predictable. But there's also ways, you know, and I'm not familiar with that, but there are ways that they can rearrange the way they do their investing and everything, and they can compensate, okay?
Yeah.
Well, they hedge,
I still never trust the guy who lives next door to Jim Cramer, though. So that's the
Well, he gets all that great advice. What do you mean?
I always say, man, if you want to make money, just go a month or two out from what Jim Cramer's pushing and do the opposite, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think wasn't there some data somebody did that or something?
Sure.
And yeah. But I think a lot of times you could just, you know, traders can make money, you know, who might short when all the idiots come running in right away and buy the minute he says something, you know.
Yeah. So. I try to find some optimism. How's Alibaba doing, BABA? That one's, I think, a pretty good play on instead of buying an overpriced Amazon.
Well, I mean, that's come up a bit, too, you know, after having gotten down to what, in the 50s? And now it's over 100. It's 105 right now.
Yeah, 105.61.
Yeah, so it's been coming up very nicely.
What's the PE on that? Do you see it or no?
Well, I have to go to a different website.
Yeah, I got it here.
Do I really care? No.
48.76. Yeah. 48.76. Yeah. 49.
Yeah. What's the forward PE?
25.
Yeah, see, the forward PE is 25. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Is the glass half full or half empty?
Yeah, so you can take a look, you know. But basically, if you have a company that's growing at, what, 25%? Well, more than that. Let's see right now. What is it, 25% a year?
Yeah. Well, I guess I'll let you grab other calls. I always like to end with something humorous or witty, so I heard something funny yesterday. It said, now, even though the biggest problem with children is childhood obesity, the bright side is there's a lot less runaways.
Okay. And on that note.
Ba-dum-bum. There you go. Thanks, Jason.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, 803-1536. Two main numbers if they're busy, give us a call, 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. And if you do use an 800 number, 800-879-7541. While we're waiting for calls, we'll take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning live from 10 to 11. Willard Sapperston and Peter Greco of Sapperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at sapperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Sapperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Give us a call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. And I'll just say those two numbers right now because the phone lines are wide open. If they're busy, I will give you a whole bunch of other numbers to call. So do give us a call. And a couple things, you know, I wanted to bring up the biotech thing, and I said, you know, the things that can happen, right? Mm-hmm. Last week people were calling about AUPH, and I said I happen to own that in my account, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd sold half, and I looked back on it, and I bought it at $5.27. I sold half at $6.47, because that was one day, mm-hmm. and it jumped 20% in one day. So I said, I'll sell half of it, right? Then it went up to 10, So I sold another half of my half at 10. Mm-hmm. And it closes at 10:45. So here's the story. So the stock closes at 10:45. After the market closes, they announce a public offering, right? I said one of the bad things that happens, right? Stock closes at 10:45. Do you know where they decided to do their public offering at? Take a guess. What price?
Lower?
They always do it lower. But
yeah, $8.
$6.75.
Oh, boy.
You figure that one out, right? So I said, so if you're supposed to have this great drug with lupus and it's shown promise and whatever, you know, it's shown some real positive things, why are you putting a public offering out at $6.75?
Obviously.
Luckily, I only had a quarter of my position left, right, and I still owned it at $5.27. So the next day it opened, it went down to $7-something, goes back up to $8.30, so I sold the rest of my position because I can't figure out why they're doing what they're doing, right? Yeah. And So that's number one thing that can happen. I remember years ago, I bought another company, another biotech company. It went up to 25, and it was running nicely. It had a nice profit. They come out and do a public offering, 17.
Wow.
So that was the end of that one. So that's the risk, one of the big risks, you know, you run in that. Then here's another risk, you know, and here's a guy saying you shouldn't be playing, but I do get involved for myself, and I'm in Experian, you know, and the stock's running nicely. I think I paid 32 for it, and it's up to 35. Then it starts coming down, and then Thursday, I don't particularly like the price action. You know, I said I don't understand why it's down to 29 and something, right? And I actually had put an order up. But I didn't. But I never submitted it, right?
Mm-hmm. To sell,
sell, right? Next day, Amgen comes out. So this company, Experian, is involved in a drug to lower your LDL, right? Your bad cholesterol, right? So Amgen comes out with results on their drug, and people were disappointed in the results in their drug, right?
10,
and Amgen goes down 10. So you would think the competitors would go up.
You would think,
right? This thing goes down 30%.
Wow.
So now it opens at like 21. It drops to 20, you know, and I'm still scratching my head saying, what happened here, right?
It's hard.
So, but it did rebound up to 23, you know, but that didn't make me feel any better. But those are the things that happen in biotech stocks.
Yeah, quick,
and, you know,
well, there's a lot of speculation. Look at the volume on the chart on the volume.
Massive. So those are, you know, the risks you take in those type of things, and you gotta only, if you're gonna do it, and you know, do it with money you can afford to put into something, and not put a lot of money into it,
right.
You know,
and you may prepared. Have an interest in it. You may have an interest in that
right,
area.
Yeah, exactly. But be prepared for what can happen to you. You
sure.
know, and accept the fact. You know, I could sit there and said, "Why me?" you know, but that's what happens, and I know that happens.
And there's no worse feeling than when you think, oh, this is going to be good news for my stock.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden it goes down. You go, what the heck happened there?
And they said every competitor went down. Another one went down like 30% too, you know, just interesting.
So people must have been buying the industry, taking positions. They got one bad news. They said,
boom,
the heck with it, we're selling off.
And I didn't think the news was that bad. I don't understand it. But, you know, it's very difficult. That's why a lot of times I say, you know, you get caught up in reading. Who knows what it means? I mean, I'm not a biotech analyst, you know, and I, you know, who knows, you know, so like I said, when I first read it, I said, that didn't really seem that bad.
No.
Right now, phone lines are wide open, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Two main lines, if they're busy, 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. Give us a call. Last week, we were so excited because we had a record number of calls, at least when David
calls.
Was on, 11 calls last week.
Yeah.
So David came in today, said, let's hope we can get 12, you know,
that's right,
and go for a new record.
Let's
you know,
go.
So,
but, pump us up.
So let's give us a call. I keep seeing something come on and disappear. It's kind of interesting. You know, one thing I do always say, you know, look at sectors first. Don't rush around trying to pick a stock. Look at sectors. What have been the strongest sectors this year?
What have been,
and,
Peter?
And shocker of shockers, in the S&P, using the ETFs in the S&P, you know what the leading sector is right now? Never would have bet on it, but go ahead.
I can never guess. I don't know.
Home builders.
Okay.
Up 10.6%.
Wow.
And everybody's interest rates are rising. You shouldn't be buying.
What are they
going
to do with all these houses?
Yeah,
right,
no,
right,
right,
right.
There you go.
No, you're right.
So there's another thing. Predicting gets you no place, all right? And knowing how the market's going to react, you never know. So don't think you know, you know.
Oh, as soon as you know, you don't know.
You know, right. Because some, I think, what was it? Mark Twain said, it's not what you know that gets you in trouble, it's what you. It's not what you don't know to get you in trouble. It's what you know that isn't true that gets you in trouble, right?
I have no idea.
Well, that's what he said.
I lost you at hello.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, we're going to go next to Vic in Florida. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. How are you?
Good. About 6 weeks ago, I called you about my position on Mobileye.
Yes.
And obviously...
Did I say something negative? I hope not.
No. It worked out well. But, right? But what I really want to talk about is you guys always talk about there is no disinterested people in the market.
Mm-hmm.
And on February 24th, a fellow by the name of Andrew Left, and I should have realized right away with last name of Left, a lefty, can't trust him, from a research firm called Citrone Research.
Oh, that's a big firm, I guess, yeah.
Came out and said he started a short position on Mobileye and actually closed his short position on NVIDIA, which is also interesting. But he said Mobileye is a one-trick pony, and he said it was going to be about a $35 stock, so... 2 weeks later, it get bought out by Intel, and it's up 80%. But what's also interesting, I mentioned about NVIDIA. You know, he was one of his short position, or when he called his short position on NVIDIA, caused NVIDIA to go down 10 or 15%. When he closed out his position, now NVIDIA now is going up again.
Mm-hmm.
And I just looked at the chart. I had sold it and I bought back in. And now it's just had a double top breakout.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just interesting how these analysts are so out of whack sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing to mention is after Intel bought Mobileye, five brokerage firms lowered their price outlook on Mobileye and to stable or neutral. You know, where were they when they should have been coming out with a positive mention of the stock?
Yeah. We've been talking about this.
Well,
for
unfortunately,
years,
you know what they're always doing is covering their you know what. You know, in other words,
yeah.
I mean,
well,
we who know, just laugh at that. You know, but
yeah, of course it's going to be neutral because now that they've
right, it can't go anyplace.
Their price,
right?
You know, it's just
well,
just
it's interesting.
Laugh,
I mean, it's like if somebody who's short, they're you know, can be manipulating too. You know, where you know, puts out a negative article. For all you know, he took profits. I don't know what he did. You know, but
yeah.
Remember how Cramer admitted a way back how when he ran his hedge fund, he used to manipulate his stocks all the time by sending out news stories and stuff. You know, it's done. You know.
Yeah, is that Citrone Research a reputable?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't really know. I was joking. I mean, I've never heard of them.
Okay. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I never heard of them either. But yeah, I wondered that too. In both situations, whether he called the short and then he actually
took money out of it.
Yeah. It's.
Could be. I don't know really, but you
but
know,
they're, but, and they're watched though. They're you know.
Yeah, they are supposedly.
Well, yeah. I hope so, but yeah. Doesn't seem like it a lot of times.
Yeah, I want to ask you about a couple of stocks, too. The most obnoxious commercial on TV and radio is the one with Progressive.
Oh, a friend of mine. Every time it comes on, he goes berserk.
But take a look at the stock.
What's the symbol on it?
PGR.
PGR. Yeah, unbelievable. And somebody told, well, I don't want to malign them. I've heard people say negative things about them, you know, but anyway. But, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard both.
Yep.
But take a look at the run that they've had.
Unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing?
Look at 2009. The stock was down, what, around 12 or something, 11, and now it's 40. Yeah.
So it's almost a quadruple.
Yeah. And it really hasn't had any real major corrections, you know, all the way up, really. I think it got up to 30, pulled back to 24, you know, big deal, you know.
Yeah, but flow is...
beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, flow, flow, yeah.
Yeah,
she's not beautiful, but the stock's beautiful.
Yeah, but this rally.
Her voice is the most annoying voice in the world.
Every time I listen.
This rally, just like the financials. Right. So, that's basically what it is. Yep. Yeah.
What was the other one there?
The other one I want to just ask about is Texas Instruments.
Mm-hmm. So I haven't heard anybody mention that stock for years. You know?
Bought it a couple of days ago.
But look how beautiful that is.
I bought it a while ago, and I'm thinking of. You know, adding to my position.
Well, you know, number one, this is the perfect example of looking at the sector. You know, this is like the second or third leading sector this year to semiconductors. You know,
right.
And we always said that, been saying that for weeks. Semiconductors. You know, and it's been beautiful. Is that an all-time high for the stock?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not.
No, because back in 2000, with the rest of the unbelievable run-ups, you know. This stock back then was around $95 a share. So I would have to say the chances are that this might go up to back to test 95, look pretty decent.
Okay, yeah. I mean, all the particulars concerning the stock, the fundamentals are great. I know you don't, you know, you don't look at stuff like that. But,
well, I mean, to be honest, I sneak a peek.
He peeks once in a while.
I peek, you know, but, you know, I don't, you know, I've made more mistakes reading the fundamentals than not reading them, you know.
Yeah.
Because you start getting all caught up in, you know.
The hype.
Oh, this, that, the other thing, you know, so.
So 95 you think is a legitimate target?
95 looks like a legitimate target, and I would say it should have decent support around 79, you know.
Yeah. Okay, great.
And even below that support would be 75, you know, so.
Okay, nice talking to you guys.
Nice talking to you.
Send you some sunshine.
We'll send you some snow. Would you
like
it?
We had it yesterday.
No, thanks.
Okay.
All right, bye-bye.
Take care. Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or 803-1536. Two main numbers if they're busy. Try 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. We're going to go next to Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
You made
Good
it morning, in. We couldn't get to you last week there.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right.
That's all right. You didn't miss it.
No problem. It was funny you mentioned that AUPH, Peter.
Yep.
I was just thinking about that because I heard you guys talking about it last week.
Right.
So just as you guys were talking earlier in the morning, that one came right to my mind.
Well, you know, I'm keeping an eye on it because one of my things I've noticed over the years is that if a stock comes out with a public offering at a price... And it stays above that price.
Uh-huh.
That's usually a bullish sign, you know.
Really?
So I've got that on my radar, you know. So
where would you look at it again?
I might look at it pretty soon, you know.
Really,
I would like to see the public offering closed. And I didn't see any news yet that it's done, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I always wait for the public offering to be closed, you know. And definitely, it might be setting up then, you know. If it closes the public offering and that's it. You know, like I say, the only thing that does bother me, and here's where you go with the fundamentals, you know, we're trying to guess, you know, why did they price it at 675?
Right.
I don't know, you know. But
so you think it's a legitimate company?
From what I can see, yeah. I mean, it does worry me that it's a Canadian company, you know. But no,
there you go.
No, I found out they were located, of all places, and you remember the Vancouver Stock Exchange?
Okay, yeah.
Whatever. I think it's, you know, in that area, you know, where their headquarters is, you know.
Wow, you know, there isn't too much good stuff on the Canadian market, I can tell you.
We're making a lot of Canadian friends today, right?
That's okay.
Okay.
That's okay. You guys are talking about the strength of industries. What do you guys think of the building industry?
I mean, it's been unbelievable. You know, like I said today, the home builders were the strongest sector in the S&P. And building, what are you talking about in general?
Well, I'm thinking about too. Home Depot, but I'm wondering if maybe it's too late for Home Depot. But the other one I'm thinking of is Pulte Homes, PHM.
Yeah, I'm not so. I mean, Home Depot is probably at an all-time high. I would guess.
I think it is. It made a nice break maybe a month or so ago.
Yeah, I mean, in looking at it, I mean, it has a potential next target. And somebody said, you know, you have to take this as a proxy for the economy, you know.
Okay.
And so this came up from 92 up to 140. So 50.
Close at 149.
I mean, I could 60. See 170 on it.
Really?
Know? Yeah.
So you still think there's good potential in this one?
Yeah, I think it is. It just broke out again.
Yeah.
And near-term good support. Well, it's way back. It's like one. Well, that's a monthly chart, though. Let me take a look at a daily chart real quick. A daily chart.
I mean, it made a nice break out of the mid-130s.
Yeah. I mean, you know, near-term support's 145.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, and below that, it's probably 144 to 145, yeah. And what was the other one? Pulte Homes?
Pulte Homes, PHM. I'm wondering if that may be a little better.
PHM.
I know that. Well, you're talking.
Well, it looks pretty much the same. You know, I mean, it's been going nicely up from what? You know, $16 to $23 right now.
Yeah. Made a nice breakout of the 22 area.
Yeah, that made a nice breakout.
So it's a little closer to the breakout.
Yeah, I agree with you. Around 22, it's closer to the breakout. And that was touched a couple of times, you know, in the last.
Yes.
Year and a half, which makes it more important. So that.
Well, I'm looking back to like 2013, Peter. It's like low 20s. It always broke down.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and if I look, it came up.
And the last run I see where it made a nice run, it ran from like 5 to 20.
Yeah. Yep. Now that one looks very good too right now.
Okay.
You know, and if you take the trading range, you know, which is basically say 22 to 14, say that. Uh-huh. So you say you add 8 points to that, you could get up to 30. You know.
Okay. All right. What about? Do you guys know much about this company here, FIVN?
I don't know. Everybody seems to love it. You know.
Any idea or any?
I mean,
thoughts on it?
Beautiful breakout.
Yeah, just recently, right?
Yeah. I mean, it broke out. You know, say, above 17. Uh-huh. All right. And let me look back on a longer-term chart real quick. Yeah,
I like looking at these that just break out, Peter.
I agree with you. I've always said, you know, people don't like to buy new highs, but, you know, until the game ends or whatever you want to call it, right, sometimes your best bets are stocks that break out and make new highs, you know. Especially new all-time highs, you know.
Exactly. It made a recent breakout, right, because at least you know that people have been. You know, it hasn't been going anywhere, and there's a lot of strong support, right? When you're buying these ones that are running and running, I mean, you just don't know when the game.
Oh,
is
I
up.
Agree. Yeah, I mean, you use that breakout level as a potential support, you know, which was around 16, mm-hmm. right? And below that, you have support at 13. You know, 13, 16, closed at 18.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down to 13, probably. You know, but but you know, in looking at that. You know, on a monthly chart, a longer-term target would probably be somewhere around 4 up to 16, 12. Could be around the mid-20s,
wow,
you know, 24, somewhere around there.
Really close good. At 18?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that looks very interesting, obviously.
Looks like it's ready to do something.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I know.
And there's a lot of interest in that stock, you know. I don't know what they do, but, you know.
Well, it looks some
technology.
Kind of software company. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, application software.
But they're in the right area, too. I mean, those are the areas. You know, technology's a top leading sector this year, you know.
I'm going to give you one last one. Mm-hmm. I don't want to keep you guys up too much.
Well, it's almost done for the day anyway.
We didn't set the record.
Go ahead.
PNZ.
What is it?
PNZ.
PNZ. Z.
PNZ?
Yeah.
Edward Nancy Zebra.
Oh. E, Peter. E, Edward Nancy Zebra.
All right. What is this now? Enzo, biotech stock. All right.
Medical labs and research. All right.
Oh, okay. Not quite biotech. Boy, that was a nice jump on Friday, though.
Closed at 751.
Yeah, that was a nice, nice jump. So in looking at that, the volume was tremendous. Did they have some kind of news come out?
I mean, I like to look at stuff that has these, you know, huge volume moves.
Yeah, yeah. See, remember I mentioned that guy, Harry Boxer?
Yes.
That's what he uses.
Volume,
you know, he calls price volume surges, and that's how he puts them on his list, you know.
Because it tells you somebody's doing something, right?
Yeah, it's right at 750. You know, you need a little bit more follow through, okay?
Yeah.
Because that was important resistance back in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I see that.
Okay. Yeah. So, but. you know, that's something to look at, because that's telling you something might be up. Take a look. You know, I always do look at the news just to see why it had that volume spike, you know.
Right. Okay.
So I would take a look at the news anyway. But yeah, I mean, this one you have to put on your radar, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some changes in their directors, and sort of some, you know, firms following it. Nothing
big to make that volume, huh? Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, definitely, you know, that one, like I say, that's Harry Boxer. That's his whole approach.
His whole philosophy is
to put these things on the list, and then if they have certain patterns, he likes them, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, the only, you know, a lot of times, I mean, the general person doesn't know what's going on, right?
No, no question.
You have to do research. Everything's out there available to you. You just have to look for it.
I mean, you look at it, but, you know.
It's all these deep state people, right, Peter? In the stock market.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because obviously the people that know stuff, right, they're going to start buying it, right?
Oh, no question. That's why we always say the price action is what's important, okay? Until there's always a certain point in the chart where all the idiots have jumped in.
Uh-huh.
And then you don't have the people to know anymore, right?
Yes, exactly.
So, but for a good part of the rise, it's the people that know, you know. And it's not like they know, you know, these are the people who can analyze, who understand the business, whatever, you know.
Well, they think they know.
What's going on where, you know, they know all the stuff you're not supposed to know.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
You know. Anyway, so you guys are comfortable with the home building sector. I think I'm going to focus on that.
Yeah, I would, definitely, yep.
Excellent, guys. Great always talking to you.
Okay, great talking to you. Have a good weekend. Okay, I guess we've reached the end of the line.
No, not the end of the line. The show's
on. Oh, the end of the show, right. Not the end of the line.
The Sabres are at the end of the line.
Are they? Are they eliminated yet?
Yeah, well, yeah.
They are?
For all intents and purposes,
For all intents and purposes,
they got 10 games left.
But anyway.
What are you going to do? There's always next year. Let's go Villanova.
That keeps the people in Buffalo hanging on every year, right?
Desperate and dateless.
There's always next year, right?
Desperate and dateless.
Right.
Nobody take them to the big
games. Okay, we only have a minute to go. You know, as we always say, you know, keep a little powder dry for opportunities, you know, because they keep developing. You know, the stocks that pull back, you know, once again, take a look at the sectors that are performing well. Look for your opportunity. Forget about you think the market's going to correct or whatever it is, you know. Yeah, someday it might, you know,
it
no
will.
Question.
And just
it will.
When?
Eventually.
And
it
why?
Will, you know, but that's it.
Yeah. Hopefully
but,
just a
but I mean,
correction.
But individually, you know, if you look at the sector first, look at those strong sectors. We're talking about home builders, semiconductors, technology, healthcare is up there too. They're all up there pretty close this year.
Yeah. You know. Well, people are doing remodeling to their homes because they, you know, can't afford to, maybe if they sell a home with a good profit, they have to go buy another one. A lot of reasons.
That's it. So anyway, till next week, take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.